we are neglecting the greatest spiritual discipline in the body of Christ. We're neglecting it. Prayer. We pretend to pray. That's not going to cut it. We have to be a people that really know that we can go to the throne of grace.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. A good Sunday morning and welcome to our final Sunday broadcast for 2025. As we stand on the threshold of a new year, it's only natural to look back. We here at Love Never Fails have been so grateful for every moment we've shared with you. And as we step into 2026, our prayer is that you will feel refreshed and ready for the amazing things God has in store as we continue to grow in Him from the study of His Word. Now, let's join Pastor Bill with another message from God's Word.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 9, and I'll be there in a moment. You know, I love Father's Day, not because I'm a dad. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. But I love Father's Day for one particular reason. It is indeed the most special day to me because I one day received into my heart the divine reality, not a theological fact, but the divine reality into my heart that God was really my father. See, I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a dad, number one, who actually chose me, wanted me. But I did have my Father in heaven who chose me before the foundations of this earth, who loves me and loves you, and He's the perfect dad. He's the perfect father. I have a father that has never, ever lied to me. And when He chastens me, that means disciplines me, there's a reason. But He does it always in love, and it's always perfect. And every time He speaks to me, He always speaks in perfect truth that helps me along the way. Amen? So I love Father's Day. I'm so thankful for that. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love. What manner of love is one word, I believe, in the Greek. Behold what manner of love means a love that is completely out of this world that the Father has bestowed upon His children, calling them the children of God. Well, that's who we are. Now, this morning, I have a message, and I pray that your hearts will be open to it. We're in the midst of a summer series. And this summer series, the purpose of it, when the Lord moved on my heart, is that we would be able to discern the time that we're living in, but we would also be able to understand what we should do in the time that we're living in. Remember the sons of Issachar there in 1 Chronicles 12, where it says the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding. Understanding of the times. They knew what was occurring in their time frame, if you will. And then it says, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Well, you know, we need to have understanding in the times that we're living in because we are living in dangerous times, loved one. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul says, and know this, that in the latter days, perilous, that word means savage or fierce, perilous times will come. Well, we are living in perilous times right now. And perilous times, when you say, well, Bill, was that famines or earthquakes? No. Paul lists those things. It'll be people that'll be lovers of self, people that'll be lovers of money, kids that are unforgiving and heady and headstrong, all the things that are occurring. Think about that. Are we living in that time? So it's defining the characteristics of the mindset or the character of people in the latter days. And loved one, that's where we are right now. Now, so we need to be like the sons of Issachar, you know, to understand the times and to discern between what is real and what is not real. In other words, between illusion and between reality. Now, this morning, when you see the text that I'm going to teach, you might be saying in your heart, Bill, what you're teaching requires very, very little discernment. I think I'll prove you wrong about that in just a moment. Remember the author that I've been quoting lately, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, who said this? He said, a culture that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion dies. And I added to it by saying, a culture, a nation, or the church that cannot distinguish between what is real and what is false is in a lot of trouble. Amen? So that's the purpose of our series. And so this morning, as I speak with you, I pray in Jesus' name that you listen to me very, very carefully, because you need to discern in your heart the moving of God, the truth of God right now. You know, most of my Christian life, I have prayed and made it a practice to pray the Lord's Prayer every morning. Every day I did that for nearly 35 years, and I would pray every morning. And then less than a year ago, I don't know, because I was depressed or I was discouraged or just worn out. I don't really know. I don't have a clue. But for some reason, I stopped praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, I didn't say that I stopped praying. Oh, man, I was praying more than I've ever prayed before, if nothing else. But early last week, I started praying the Lord's Prayer in my personal, private time all over again. But this time, the Lord has moved upon me to pray it in a different way. And I know that you know this prayer. I know you know it by heart. I know that, well, you've learned it in Sunday school, wherever it, but I know that you know it by heart. And you might be tempted, as we cover the Lord's Prayer, because you're so familiar with it, to kind of just zone out or tune out. Listen, this is a time this morning to tune in to what I'm about to say. And I say this, I don't know so much, I don't know how you're going to take this, but this may be the most important message that I have ever preached in my entire life. I know that what I'm saying this morning, when I received it from the Lord, was so vital for me, vital for the things that are happening in our nation, the things that are occurring in our nation. And I pray that you stay open with me and you follow along with me as I give you a short review, because I've taught on the Lord's Prayer so often here, but I just want to kind of go over it. Then we're going to move to another text in Scripture. So you remember that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, I believe it is, verse 1, you know, Jesus was often, he was praying in a certain place. And the disciples heard him praying, and after Jesus had finished his prayer time, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, would you teach me to pray? Teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So the disciples were listening to the Lord, the way he was praying, and they were basically saying, Lord, I want to pray. I want to be able to pray like you. Help us, you know, teach us what to do. So that right there, number one, tells us that prayer must be a priority, okay? It has to be a priority in our lives. And not only must it be a priority, because if Jesus prayed, my goodness, how much more do we need to pray? But you know what? Now listen carefully. If you're not, if I'm not a person of prayer, do you think we could really be able to discern the times that we're living in? No, we couldn't. Do you think we would know what to do? No. See, prayer really is the work, and the Bible tells us that our Father's ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. He hears. He wants to hear. He wants us to pray, and so forth. So now what we want to look at there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 9, is that not only is prayer a priority, but it's also, there is a pattern of prayer. Look what happens here. Jesus is going to teach us to pray as he taught his disciples. He says, in this manner, or that word means model or divine outline, if you will. He says, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the way I started out for over 30 years of my life. I would open up and I would start adoring the Lord. Amen? The word hallowed means to honor, to revere. Oh God, thank you for your name. In other words, not just our Father. I mean, there's 80 Old Testament names at least for God, okay, in the Bible. But out of all of those Old Testament names, Jesus chose the word Father. And it says, our Father. And when we hallow the name of God, when I would go into my prayer time and I would hallow the name of God, I would call out, you know, like Jehovah Sitkanu, that's, oh God, you are my righteousness, amen? Jehovah Shalom, you are my peace. Jehovah Rohi, you are my shepherd. Are you following me? So I would call out all of the wonderful benefits of who he is. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. I would start honoring and hallowing the names of God. That was part of my ritual, if you will. If I hate to use that word ritual, that was my prayer time. And I was sincere in the way I prayed that. Now, so the first thing I did, like I said, I would start out adoring the Lord and praying. Now, let me say something to you now about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a liturgical event. It's not, well, we pray it together in unison church. Or we're Catholic, we pray it. We're Lutheran, we pray it. Or Pentecostal. No, no, no. God is our Father. We are his children. This is not a little baby prayer, okay? A sissy prayer, any of those things. I know you don't think that. Listen, these are 66. I think they're 66 words. These are 66 of the greatest words ever given on number one, how to pray, and number two, what to pray. And that is usually our issue, isn't it? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what to do here. And you know what? Thousands of books have been written on prayer, and I think I've probably read at least half of them. And I challenge you, can you find a better prayer? Can you come up with a better prayer than this? No. This is from our Lord, our Savior. So I begin by praising him and honoring him. And then we would move to verse 10, in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I started out and I would be worshiping and then, Lord, I want to get my life right. I want to get my priorities right. Lord, your will be done in my life today. Your will be done in the church I pastor today. Your will be done in the Supreme Courts and all the things they're doing. Your will be done in my nation, in my country. And I would go through and start praying, and Lord, I want your kingdom, which means your rule to reign in my heart, in my life. So I'd move from praising God to getting my priorities right, and then I would move down to the next one, which would be my provision. And I would pray, you know, and give us this day our daily bread. Lord, right now, our daily bread. Lord, do you know my needs today? Unfortunately, that's where most Christians stay. Lord, my daily bread, amen? Listen, God is our Father. Every resource is available because God is our Father, amen? Matthew 6:33, Jesus told us, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means the rule of God again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And if you go back and read the text in Matthew 6, you know it's going to be the things that we need in life. All these things shall be added unto you. So we move from priorities down to our provision. And then we go to verse 12 when we get right with others, with people, where he says there, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now listen, I've never prayed it that way. I've always prayed, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Now the reason I pray that is because I learned that prayer from the Tyndale Bible. It was published in 1625, I think, you know, or whatever. I wasn't around then, in case you're wondering, but, you know, and so that's the way I've learned. And I like it better than the word debt, personally, for me, because the word debt, of course, it talks about our sin. There's those two areas. I'm to forgive, Father, forgive me if I have sinned, and if I've sinned against someone else, or if they sin, you know, forgive others, amen? But the word trespass is a better word, I think, because it means you got into my territory. You crossed the line. And when you did that, you violated something. And so we pray, Lord, forgive us of both those areas in our life. So we get our priorities right. I got my provision. Then I start praying about people and so forth. And, you know, remember about forgiving others. Forgiveness is not pardon. Amen. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of obedience where we say, Lord, I'm just going to do what your word said. And then I move in my personal prayer time and I drop down to verse 13 and, you know, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So That's when I prayed for, Lord, protect me. The protection that you offer, oh God. Protection over the church, over the family, or specific people that I may be praying for. And that is in that moment, in my personal private prayer time, is when I would put on the armor of God. I would shod my feet, you know, with the gospel of peace. I'd put on the helmet of salvation, you know, gird myself up with truth. And, you know, a breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, whack, whack. You know what I'm talking about. And I would get all dressed, and then I was ready. You understand? I prayed for that protection, and I'd always move down in Ephesians, where I would, you know, you put on the armor, to verse 18, I believe it is, to where it says, praying always with all kinds of prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end for all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So then I'd start praying for the church at large, the church all over the world, and for any other people, and then I would move in and finally come to a completion of my prayer. It takes about 30 minutes to pray if you really pray that. You follow me? Okay, if you want to add things to it instead of just praying it in sequence. And I would end it, as it says in verse 13, for yours is the kingdom. It means that God, our Father, he rules over everything. Amen? And for yours is the power. There's not anything God can't do. And then the glory. Only God is worthy. Amen? Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, so I end that in praise, and then I would kind of launch out. I'd pray in the Spirit and so forth. I'd wait upon the Lord and let him bring people up into my heart, and I've been praying for however it worked. You know, that's the way I just did it. Now, listen very carefully. To just pray the Lord's Prayer, and I timed this on my iPhone. I have a stopwatch on it. I discovered it the other day. It took me 23 seconds to just simply pray the Lord's Prayer, which is really the believer's prayer, but you know what I mean, and so forth. Now, I'll talk to you more about that in a moment, but I want you now to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, Psalm of David, and I want you to look at this carefully with me this morning. Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, isn't that beautiful? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd implies this. Number one, he owns me. Number two, he watches over me. Number three, he tends to me. Number four, he cares for me. Matter of fact, you could even read it this way. He is shepherd to me, because it's in the present tense there in the Hebrew, which means there's not a moment that he's not watching over you. There's not a moment that he's not looking at you and leading you, putting you where you need to be. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Amen? Therefore, we will not lack anything. He's shepherd to me. I shall not want. Why? Well, he feeds the ravens. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He waters the lilies of the field. He gives life and breath to everything. Amen? Listen, he is our shepherd. God is our Father. Are you listening? Oh, how wonderful that is. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. The word there, pastures, did you notice? It's plural. Green pastures, fresh, tender, places that are full of nourishment. Provide for whatever we need in our life. He leads me beside the still waters. I will never, ever want for rest because he makes me lie down in green pastures. May I tell you that the Lord knows what pasture to put you in? That's why it's plural. He'll lead you from this pasture over to this pasture. Why? Because he's your shepherd. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows when you need it, and he will never, ever fail you. I shall not want for rest, and I shall not want for refreshment. Why? Because he leadeth me. That's what a shepherd does. He gently leads. He leadeth me beside still, peaceful, untroubled waters. Amen? Look what else he does. I know you know this so well, but listen carefully. He restores my soul. He revives me. He gives me life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for restoration. When I am worn out, when I am lonely, whenever I am depressed, whenever I am discouraged, whenever I don't know what to do, I look to my shepherd. And I say, Lord, you promised to revive me. You promised to restore me. And that's what Jesus does. He restores my soul. The word there, restores, is the same like in the Greek where it talks about mending that of a broken bone. He makes what is broken, what is not working in your life, he restores it to work again. He refreshes us. Why? He is our shepherd. And I shall never, 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 never want for righteousness. He leads me in paths for righteousness for his name's sake. He keeps us on the narrow road. Amen. But you know, the thing that I'll never want for righteousness is because his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, Christian, has been imputed into our account. Amen? And when God looks at us, he looks at us as though we had never, ever sinned. When he sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's incredible. And I say, oh God, how good you are. And he does it for his name's sake. See, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Amen? Now look at this one. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen? Now listen, I shall not want, I shall not lack when my final day comes. And one day it will, just like yours will, unless we're all caught up in the rapture taking us away. But I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that word implies I will walk calmly through it. I'm not going to be fearful. And you know why I'm not going to be fearful? It's because Jesus conquered death. My shepherd, your shepherd, conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered our last enemy, if you will. Completely. He also tasted death for each and every one of us. He destroyed him who had the power over death, that is the devil. Destroyed means he didn't annihilate him or displace him forever. No, he's still around, but he's been rendered inoperative. Amen? Oh, listen, that is so wonderful that I tell you, I know that I'll not fear any evil. Why? For thou art with me. He's always going to be with us. Why? He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is among us. He's always there. And I'll never, ever want. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Jesus rules over death. The rod is speaking of authority. He rules over death. His staff guides us. The Bible says in Isaiah that God is our guide even into death. Amen? He's there with us the whole way. Revelation 1:17, Jesus said, fear not, I'm the first and the last, as he was speaking to John, the apostle. And he says, I am he that liveth. I was dead. Well, he's not dead anymore. He's not ever going to die again. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And listen to what Jesus says. And I have the keys of hell and of death. There's not a person, there is not a religion on this planet that can make that claim. The only one is Jesus Christ, because he can make that claim because he is the one who conquered them for us. That means that even in death, our shepherd is going to keep us safe. Look at verse 5 now. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for protection. Why? Well, God just said, I'm going to be able to sit down at a table and there are all my enemies. Let's just pretend you're my enemies. I'm going to eat my fried chicken right in front of you. It's going to be finger licking good, okay? And you're not going to trouble me at all. I'm not going to be afraid of you. I don't care what you say, what you do. Why? My shepherd, my father, has prepared a table for me. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to enjoy eating. I'll not want for protection. You know, Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out, as well as us, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give you authority. Authority from Jesus. I give you authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents. The devil and the devil try to make you forget that. And over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I believe that with all my heart. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:14, it says this, "And I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." You believe that? That's right. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." 1 John 5:4 says, "Whatever is born of God," or "whoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen, we've overcome because we are in Christ. And not only do we have a table that he has prepared for us, it says that he anoints our head with oil. That's the Holy Spirit, meaning that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the very day of redemption. He's not going to lose you. No one can take you away from Jesus if you're born again. Amen? No one can ever do that at all. We're a people who are walking in the Spirit, a people that are led by the Spirit. We're a people that pray in the Spirit. "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." My cup runneth over. What does that mean? Filled to the brim and running over. Why? You know why? The Bible is so clear. That cup, what is that cup? Listen carefully from Psalm 16:5. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup." God is our inheritance. Amen? Our Father is our portion. And oh, I look at it and say, "Oh God, you're so wonderful. The all-sufficient one. The one that if he doesn't have it, he can just create it." Says, "I'm your cup. I'm going to fill your cup with me to overflowing because God is our Father." You see, when the Lord is your shepherd, that is all you're ever going to really need. Amen? He'll take care of everything. And surely, look at that, verse 6, surely, that means it's a fact, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How long? All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want because God's goodness and God's mercy, which means God's unfailing love, will follow me all the days of my life. Listen to me now. That word "follow me" in the Hebrew means, it's like a picture, if you will, of someone in hot pursuit after you. They're running with all of their might to overtake you. They're always coming after you. Goodness and mercy. Do you know what goodness and mercy has been doing for me all the days of my life? I look back now after all these years. Sometimes I ask a question. I say, "Lord, ever since that you saved me, I've had you every day all that time. But all those years that I've been a Christian, I don't know that you've had me all that time. I've gone my own direction, my own way." You know what I'm saying? I know you haven't, have you? Disobeyed, sinned, or whatever. All the days of my life, goodness and mercy has been following me to clean up mess after mess after mess that I've made. And then after God does that, you know what he does? Mercy is goodness. It forgives me. Can you imagine that? He forgives me, and then he treats me as though I never, ever did it, that I never blew it, that I never sinned. And God, our Father, takes those crummy things that we've done because of his goodness and his mercy that follows us in hot pursuit, that keeps us, and he buries all of our sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Hebrews 10:18-19, right there, it says, "And God will remember our sins no more. They are now as far as the east is from the west." That, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know the Bible tells us in Romans 8:35, I believe it is, says there is nothing, absolutely nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what happens to us, nothing can remove us from God's love. Amen? Nothing. I mean, not death, not demons, not created things, not the sword, peril, not hunger. Nothing can separate us from that love. Because we are in the Good Shepherd. And then when I get to the end, as you will one day, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It does not get any sweeter than that. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I haven't told you really anything that I haven't ever preached, basically. And you know those two are probably, would you say, some of the most familiar text in the Bible. Amen? Okay, I want you to listen very carefully now. I said this may be the most important message I've ever taught, and I believe that it is. The Lord's Prayer, that we just went over. The Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer. Okay, it's a prayer for the church. It's a corporate prayer. Did you notice it says, our Father, not my Father, our Father. Are you following me? It said, give us. Go through and mark all those things. Give us our daily bread, not my daily bread, our daily bread. Now listen, where it said, you know, forgive us our debts or lead us, not into temptation, deliver us, so forth. It's all about us, is it not? Okay, the Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer. Say that with me. The Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer. Very important that your mindset right now. That means this, when we as the church of Jesus Christ, when we pray this prayer, are we in unity? Yes, we're in perfect unity, and are we praying exactly the words that Jesus told us to pray? How to pray it and what to pray for, is that correct? Now, that is what you call perfect divine unity because we are all praying exactly the same thing. So the Lord's Prayer the believer's prayer, whatever you want to call it, is corporate praying. But when we go to Psalm 23, that is a personal prayer. It says, my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me, he leadeth me, he restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk, are you following me? Okay, I will not fear. He's prepared a table for me, not you. You understand? This is about me now. He's prepared a table for me. He's put something on my head. It's my cup, not your cup, I'm sorry. My cup is running over. Are you following me? It's very, very personal, this prayer of David. Some people even call it a poem. I call it a prayer and so forth. Goodness and mercy follows me. I shall live in the house all the days of my life. Okay, we've got it, right? Okay, the Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer for the church. Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, is a personal prayer. I said earlier, from 1 Chronicles 12, 32, that the sons of Issachar, there were only about 200 of them. They were in David's army. They were the least, if you will. The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. I'll tell you something. I know that when I started this message, I said, some of you are going to be saying, well, it doesn't take much discernment, Bill, you know, the things you just taught, because the fact is, you know, we're praying or whatnot. I said, okay. I told the Lord this morning, actually in the middle of the night and this morning, I said, I don't want to preach this message. I said, people are going to think I'm depressed or that I'm just in a depressing pasture that needs to be put out to pasture or something. And, you know, in other words, the cheese has really slid off the cracker. Let's put it that way. And I said, Lord, I'm not understanding exactly what you're telling me. And there he is now. And I talk to the Lord a lot, and it's really funny that the Lord answers me more when I'm shaving than any other time. It's honest truth. I think because when you're shaving, you're not thinking. You're just doing it. You know what I mean? You're looking in the mirror. You don't even see yourself. You're just, you know, doing all that. And I said, Lord, listen, I don't want to go stand in front of the people this morning because I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. What do you want me to do? Why am I teaching this on this summer series about this? And the Lord spoke to my heart, and it's kind of like it gave me a picture. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, you know what? You can go right now in America, and you can plant a church on every corner, every street corner in this land. It's not going to change anything today. You can take every Christian radio station or every radio station in America and say, from now, there's not going to be anything on there but Christian teaching. You're not going to change anything in America. In a few days, the Supreme Court is most likely going to make it a constitutional law that same-sex marriage is now across the nation. They're going to pass that law. Well, there's 36 states already that it's legal, you know. But I'm going to tell you, if it passes, what's going to happen? I want you to hear me now, because this is going to happen to you. You'll either be in your car, driving, listening to the news, or you may be at home or maybe the internet, you're surfing the news, Google News or whatever, and an announcement's going to come up that it's now a constitutional law in every state in America for same-sex marriage. And you're going to, Christian, you're going to feel a hollowness in your heart. You're going to feel an emptiness. And the reason that you're going to feel that is because for the first time in our history, the true Bible-believing church, there's a lot of churches, I'm talking about true Bible-believing churches, we are the minority. Do you understand? And now we're going to feel like we're on the outside looking in instead of the inside looking out. And so this morning when the Lord spoke to me and confirmed that I needed to teach this message, it was like the Lord said, you know, you can put a 100 new programs in the New Testament church in America. Go ahead and do it. But the Lord said, it's over. It's over. And I said to my heart, what do you mean? He says, Bill, it's like the Lord was saying, there's nothing left to do now in our nation. Nothing left to do except one thing. And there's only one thing left. And if we neglect it, we are living in an illusion. And that is, we are to pray. And you say, well, Bill, I pray. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. I'm talking today as a father. I'm talking today, I love you. But did you have a quiet time? I mean, did you really? Did you pray for those poor people in Charleston? Did you pray for our nation? Did you pray for the president? Did you really go before the Lord and pour out your heart to the Lord about the things that are happening? Did you have a quiet time, a true quiet time before the Lord? It doesn't have to be a lengthy quiet time. The question is, did you have a quality quiet time before the Lord? You see, the truth of the matter is that the church, we have to step out of the illusion in America. Because the church in America is not praying. You say, well, Bill, if we planted churches on every corner, something's going to happen. Yeah, transfer growth. Listen, I'm all for planting churches. I'm a church planter, okay? I respect that, honor that. We're called to go out into the mission field. But I'm talking about America. Christianity is declining. It's not increasing. And the reason is because 99% of the church, they're not winning anyone to the Lord. I'm not trying to be negative or depressing. I want to be honest, though. Amen? And I say, Lord, what are we going to do? Well, we have to pray. We must pray. See, I know that you say, well, Bill, I do pray, but you know what? It's so hard. It's mechanical sometimes, or I'm just so dry. I don't know. I don't even know what to pray for anymore. I have a quiet time. I don't even feel like I'm met with God. You follow what I'm saying? Prayer is definitely a hard thing. It's a spiritual discipline, loved one, and it's something that we have to do. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, he said, men, that's women too, people, Christians, they ought always to pray and not give up. Don't faint. Don't let discouragement set in. Paul the Apostle told the church at Thessalonica and us as well in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he said, pray for how long? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, meaning throughout your day. Now, the only thing we can do now, the only thing that we can do is be shut up to prayer. You see, and I realized that last week when the Lord changed the way that I've been praying. And you see, it only takes, again, 23 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it only takes, I timed it, 42 seconds to do the 23rd Psalm. So last week, the Lord placed into my heart a difference, a change. And I started praying the Lord's Prayer completely different. And what I did was this. I started praying it over and over and over and over in every spare moment I have. In other words, if I'm walking through the church by myself, not talking with people, I'll just pray wherever, at home, and so, whatever, and just pray it over and over. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And on, so on and so on. And I prayed over and over and over and over and over and over. And you say, Bill, that's vain repetition. That is the Lord's Prayer that he commanded us. It is when we pray in unity. Man, listen, that is not vain repetition at all. And then over and over again during my day, you know, like I go on walks every morning, early in the morning, I'll go on my walks, you know, and I started praying the Lord's Prayer the same way. And then I added Psalm 23. And when I walk, you know, and pray, I use hand moves for some reason. You know, I'm getting into it. You know what I'm saying? So people look at me like, this guy's nuts. I walk past people, you know, all the time. And I'll start praying. And I may even lift my hands when I'm walking. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. And I go through and I'll start praying that over and over and over. You say, well, Bill, what in the world are you wanting, asking, or what? Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. He has said it to me, and I believe he'll say it to you as well. I believe that the Lord is asking, or I'll just put it this way, I'm asking you to join me in corporate prayer and in personal prayer over and over throughout your day. You know, I'm not saying to say the Lord's Prayer. Don't do that. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray at the moment, here's what I'm doing. In the morning when I wake up, this morning when I woke up, is the first thing that came out of my mouth. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, I went through and I prayed. Not as a ritual, I prayed it. Does that make sense? I prayed to my Father. I'm praying what Jesus taught us to pray. All these realities in that prayer. And so when I wake up, I would start doing the last thing at night, right before I go to sleep, I say the Lord's Prayer. And I started doing that. I've never done that before like that ever in my life. And what I'm asking you to do is do the same thing. Pray them when you're lonely. Pray them when you're discouraged. Pray them when the circumstances face you. You know, I'm walking along and I see a circumstance. All I have to do is this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. You follow me. You have all the prayer stuff you need right here. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray about other things. I pray about a lot of other things. But I'm saying these two things, these two prayers, something is happening. I want you to do something. Fathers, mothers, single people, whatever. I want you, number one, teach the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm to your children. In other words, teach it to them. Let them memorize it. If you're single, teach it to your boyfriend. Teach it to your girlfriend. If you have grandchildren, teach it to your grandchildren. But you memorize, if you haven't by now, you need to memorize every word. And then you need to do something in your prayer time. Like when I'm out there walking and so forth, you know, I start meditating on what I'm saying. And I'll say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'll concentrate on that word shepherd. And I'll say, oh, you're my shepherd. You're the good shepherd of the sheep. You follow me? I meditate on certain phrases as I'm going through. And then when I do the Lord's Prayer, I might get a little violent. In other words, when I say that, I say, Lord, thy kingdom come. I put my foot down. I'm not saying you need to do that. Jesus said, the violent take it by force. Amen? And if there's something you've got in your heart, you've got to know these are the words from heaven. God, I want your rule. I want your rule in my home. I want your rule in this nation. I want your rule in our government. I want you back in our land. I want your kingdom come. Do you follow me? Thy will be done. Not man's will, but your will be done, Father. And there's an anger, a righteous anger. There's a force in you that's called the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants. You meditate upon each phrase. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, you meditate on these words day and night. If you do that, you're going to have good success. Amen? But you know what? You have to believe God's word. Those are God's words. This is not some prayer out of that man has made up. This is from the Holy Spirit of God. In the New King James Version, you know, when it says there on the Lord's Prayer in verse 10, you know, your kingdom come, thy will be done, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. Well, I don't prefer that. I prefer the King James Version. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not on earth, but in earth. In earth. And that preposition changes everything. When I started seeing that, what are we made from? Earth. Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you? Okay, but listen to me now. So I was saying, okay, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in me. This piece of earth, this earthen vessel, amen? Your will be done in me, in my mind, in my heart, in my flesh. Now, your kingdom come over this city, oh Lord, over this nation, over the Supreme Court, whatever you want to call it. There is absolutely nothing left to do but pray. We will not have revival, I promise you, unless God miraculously comes to our aid, which I pray that he does. He has historically over the life of our nation, 200 some odd years, the Great Awakening and so forth, and Finney and the rest of them, you know, Jonathan Edwards, Finney, all the way down, D.L. Moody, the Jesus movement, that's where I came out of. And so if you were in Calvary any length of time, you remember that, those days, all the hippies getting saved, you know, Pastor Chuck and all the work that God called him to do. Prayer is the work. Now, you say, well, now you know you can pray at least something. The Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, all throughout your day. Now listen, there is a supernatural summer waiting for you if you will be willing and obedient. Isaiah said, God said, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Is prayer commanded? Yes. We are neglecting the greatest spiritual discipline in the body of Christ. We're neglecting it. Prayer. We pretend to pray. That's not going to cut it. We have to be a people that really know that we can go to the throne of grace. Every morning, every day, throughout your day, you stop at a red light. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You follow me? You know, you get pulled over by the police, you just like, the Lord is, no. No. A circumstance, whatever. When you have that moment, I'm not, you know, turn off the TV for a little bit. Turn off the movies for just a minute, okay? And just say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I tell you, I can say that. I've said it 1,000 times this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Oh, he maketh me. He maketh me what? Oh, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, oh God, the hurt, the pain, the failures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He keeps me on the narrow road. Why? For his name's sake. He's my shepherd. He'll never lose me. Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me, Lord, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. I claim it. It's mine. Do you understand me? And I all through the day, all through the night, when I'm driving, with my spare time, whatever, I'm praying both of these prayers. A supernatural day and a moment is available for us. But you have to be obedient. I won't define what that means because I don't know. But I know this, the reality of praying that way. Not that it's a formula. Do you understand me? Not that it's a work. It's not. It's praying. And it's praying personally for yourself, all about you, my cup. And then it's corporate, our Father. Something happens. I've noticed that the more I do that, then I launch out and pray in the Spirit and just keep praying in the Spirit. And the Lord is just building. It says, building yourselves up, praying in your most holy faith, in the Holy Spirit. There's something being built up. There's something that's happening in our hearts, in my heart. Now listen, I can't define what's going on, but I know it'll be different for every believer. And here's the thing. The Lord's Prayer covers every reality of life. It's topical, topical praying. Now listen, now you're going to say, well, Bill, what's the deal here? Okay, I'm asking you, starting right today, to join me in prayer, corporately and your own personally. Okay, you follow me? How long? Well, you know, I wrote down on a note. I said, well, how about September the 1st? Then I said, no, December 31st. And then, you know, the Lord finally gave me an answer. He says, why don't we just keep doing that until God says stop doing it? In other words, if you're going to join with me, and when the Lord says, okay, I've heard enough of you, just shut up. Okay, you understand. When that happens, and you just say to yourself, it's over. Okay, it's over with. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to pray that way anymore. I'm not telling you not to pray your normal way. Do you understand? I'm not telling you not to pray. I have a list of people I pray for, all the things. But I am telling you something is going to happen. We have been shut up to prayer. There is nothing more we can do now. I tell you, nothing except pray. And that is the most powerful weapon we have, is prayer, communing with our Father, going to the throne of grace. So how long are we going to do this? I'm going to do it until the Lord says, cut it out. I'm not going to stop because I know that in my spirit, something is happening. A culture, a nation, a church that cannot distinguish between reality, what is true, illusion, what is false, is in deep trouble. And the American church is not praying. We're not praying. We're not praying. I beg you in Jesus' name that you have a quiet time. I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, sistren, I beg you, pray with me. Pray with me. If there's one thing that this church can be united in, is prayer. I don't serve, I don't give, I show up, but that's about it. Okay, that's your life, that's up to you. But you can pray with me. You can pray. You have a mouth, you have a tongue, you can open it, okay? You can pray. Pray. Pray with me now. Our Father which art in heaven. Stand to your feet and pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. God is good. Listen, take that corporate prayer. I know you know it. Pray it and then mean it. When you say our Father, mean it. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship. Oh, Jesus, you taught me to pray our Father. Lord, your kingdom rules now in my life, in your church, in this nation. You have to be persistent. Now listen carefully. If you do not sense in your heart a need to pray, and I mean really pray, I want you to notice something. If you're satisfied in your prayer time, I want you to know it's not the Holy Spirit that has satisfied you. There's no way. There is a longing and there is a yearning of the Spirit of God. And he is moving upon his church. And he is uniting the church again. And the way he's going to do it is through, of course, we are united, but you know what I mean, is through prayer. Back to intimacy. Back to fellowship. Back to hungering and thirsting. Going to, like the prodigal son, he came to himself and says, I will arise and go to my Father. That's how true prayer always begins. I will arise and say, our Father, which art in heaven, here I am, Lord. You're my Father by virtue of my relationship with Jesus. I'm bought and purchased, sealed and delivered and rescued. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll never want for anything. He has all the pastures that I need. He has all the still waters that I need. He has all the paths of righteousness that I need. He has everything I need. Why are we neglecting going to the one who has everything we need and believing? We're in the midst of a summer series, and we're trying to discern between illusion and reality. We're trying to discern the times that we're living in. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. What to do, how to do it, and when to do it. It's time to pray.
As we wrap up today's program, and indeed this entire blessed year, from everyone here at Love Never Fails, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your faithful financial support. We look forward to beginning a new year with you. Until then, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Happy New Year, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.